Welcome back. Today we're doing something very old school jungle, but with a modern, practical Ableton Live 12 workflow. We're going to take a lush pad that sounds massive on its own and turn it into a controlled, floor shaking pad bass that actually works in a 174 BPM drum and bass mix. Because here's the truth, classic rave pads feel huge until you add the Amen, the Reese, the Riedel sub, then suddenly the pad is either thin where you want weight, or it's clotting the low mids and murdering your snare. So the mindset shift for this lesson is, we're not just playing a pad, we're designing an audio asset. We're going to resample it, split it into rolls, and treat it with the same discipline you'd use for bass. Set your tempo to around 174 BPM. And before we even touch the pad, put a basic kick and snare on the grid so you can mix into something real. Classic D&B skeleton, kick on 1 and 3, snare on 2 and 4. Even if you're going to replace the drums later, you need that backbeat right now to judge space. And if you've got a placeholder bass line, even a basic Reese or sub, drop it in quietly. The whole point is to hear conflicts early, not after you've fallen in love with a sound. Now create a MIDI track and name it PAD, source. We'll make a pad that resembles well, meaning it has movement and harmonics, but it's not an uncontrollable stereo soup. Load wave eatable. Set oscillator 1 to a saw, oscillator 2 to a saw as well, and to tune it a little think 10 to 20, not super saw apocalypse. Add a little unison, 2 to 4 voices, amount around 10 to 20. The goal is width and motion, but still stable enough to sit in a mix. Filter, choose a low pass 24 dB slope. Put the cutoff somewhere in that 500 Hz to 2K Hz range and adjust by ear, because your chord voicing will change where the pad speaks. Add a bit of filter drive, maybe 2 to 5, just to thicken the harmonics. For the amp envelope, give it a proper pad shape, attack around 30 to 80 milliseconds so it blooms instead of clicking. Decay around 1.5 to 3 seconds. Sustain down a bit, like minus 6 to minus 12 dB, and a nice long release, 2 to 4 seconds, because old school pads need tail. We'll manage the tail later, right now we're designing vibe. For chords, aim for minor sevenths or sus chords. That's the moody rolling D and A. A classic example is D minor 7 to B flat major 7 to C add 9 back to D minor 7. One bar each. Don't overthink it, we're building an asset. Now let's add the pad vibe chain, but keep it light at this stage. First, chorus ensemble in ensemble mode. Amount around 20 to 35%, rate 0.2 to 0.5 Hz. Slow movement, not wobble. Then hybrid reverb. Choose a hall, keep shimmer off, decay 2 to 4 seconds, dry slash wet maybe 10 to 20%, and add a bit of pre-delay, like 15 to 30 milliseconds, so the reverb doesn't sit right on top of the dry pad. Add echo, time at 1/8 or 1/4, feedback 15 to 30%, dry slash wet 8 to 15. This is that subtle rhythmic haze behind the chords. Then a saturator, drive 2 to 6 dB, soft clip on. This is important. Saturation isn't just louder, it creates harmonics, and harmonics are what make a pad readable on smaller speakers later, even when the sub is doing the heavy lifting. Quick coach note before we resample, pick the pad's lane in the spectrum early. In rolling D&B, a pad usually lives mainly from around 150 Hz up through 2.5 kHz for body and mood, and then maybe 8 to 12 kHz for air. True weight below about 90 to 110 Hz is usually reserved for dedicated sub and bass. Decide now, is your pad sub going to be a subtle support or a feature? In most rollers, it's support. Alright, resampling time. This is the core workflow. Fast method, freeze and flatten. Right-click the PAD, source track, freeze it, then flatten it. Now your pad is audio. Rename it PAD, resampled, instant commitment, instant CPU relief, and now you can carve it precisely. Creative method, make a new audio track called PAD, print, set audio from to PAD, source, post effects, arm it and record 8 or 16 bars, while you perform a few tweaks, maybe ride the filter cutoff, nudge the reverb, maybe increase chorus amount for a moment and back it off. This is a big old school move, you play the effects as part of the pad. Print a couple variations like bright, dark, filtered, more reverb. Later, you comp the best moments and it sounds alive without endless automation. Now we've got our resampled pad audio. Next step, stop it wrecking the low end. On pad, resampled, at EQ 8, high pass it at around 80 to 120 Hz. In D&B, 100 Hz is a common starting point. Don't be scared of this. Remember, the pad top is character, not weight. Then listen to the low mids. Pads often get boxy in the 200 to 400 Hz range. If it's clouding the snare or making the mix feel like a blanket, dip a couple dB. -2 to -5 is usually enough. Also, if the pad bites where your snare crack lives, you can try a small dip around 2 to 4 kHz, but do it gently. You don't want to dull the whole track, you just want the snare to stay king. Add utility next. For the pad top, you can widen it 120 to 160%. Then switch on bass mono and set it around 120 Hz. Even though we high-passed, this keeps whatever low content remains centered and club safe. Add a glue compressor for gentle control. Attack 10 milliseconds, release auto ratio 2 to 1. Just aim for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. This isn't to slam it, it's to steady it, so it doesn't jump forward unpredictably when the chords change. Now we build the floor shaking layer, the sub foundation that follows the pad's roots. Create a new MIDI track called PAD, sub, load operator, oscillator A, sine. If you want a little extra audibility, you can try triangle, but start with sine for a clean foundation. And here's a key rule. Keep the sub boring on purpose. No unison, no chorus, no random pitch drift. The pad can wander up top, but the sub must be stable, especially on big rigs. Copy the same MIDI clip from your pad onto the sub track. Then delete the extra chord tones so you're left with just the root note. If you really want, you can keep root plus fifth, but be careful. Extra notes down low can get muddy fast. Keep the rhythm simple too. Long notes usually work best under pads. On the sub chain, at EQ8 and low pass around 120 to 180 Hz. Gentle slope is fine. We're just keeping it in its lane. Add a saturator with tiny drive, like 1 to 3 dB. Soft clip-on. This is optional, but it can help the sub read on smaller speakers. If it starts sounding fuzzy or losing pure weight, back off. Then utility, width 0%, mono, always. If you do nothing else in this lesson, do that. Now we're going to glue the two layers into one instrument concept. Select the pad top track and the sub track and group them. Name the group PAD bass, rack. Think of this like one playable unit in your arrangement. On the group itself, at an EQ8. If the mix allows, you can add a very gentle low shelf, maybe plus 1 dB around 80 Hz, but only if you're sure it's not fighting your main bass. Often you won't need it. More commonly, you'll do a small dip around 250 Hz if the combined sound clouds the snare. Then add a bus glue compressor. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack 3 milliseconds, release auto. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. This is what makes the pad top and sub feel like they belong together, like one instrument instead of two tracks stacked. Before side chain, do a quick phase sanity check. This is one of those pro moves that's fast and saves you from mystery problems. On the sub track, drop a utility and quickly toggle phase invert left, then right, or both depending on what you're checking. If one setting suddenly sounds bigger and cleaner in the low end, you had partial cancellation. Keep the setting that hits harder and feels more solid. It's not always dramatic, but when it matters, it really matters. Now sidechain, because in DNB this is not optional if you want drums that punch. Put a compressor on the PAD bass, rack. Turn on sidechain. Set audio from to your drums boss, or at least kick and snare. Attack, 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release, 80 to 160 milliseconds. Ratio, 3 to 1 up to 6 to 1. Lower the threshold until you're getting around 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on hits. And here's the coaching angle. Treat the snare as the king. A lot of people sidechain to the kick and wonder why the groove still feels clogged. In Rollers and Jungle, the snare's front edge is the statement. Test this. Mute the kick for a moment and listen to snare plus pad bass only. If the snare loses its crack, shorten the release or adjust threshold until the pad gets out of the snare's moment. At this point, you've got a working pad bass rack. Now we commit again. This is the resampling mindset. Design, commit, edit, move forward. Create a new audio track called PAD Bass, final print. Set audio from to PAD Bass, rack, post effects, record 16 to 32 bars. While you record, you can even perform tiny changes, like easing the pad filter slightly or riding reverb down in the drop feel sections. Then edit your print. Consolidate your best 8 or 16 bars. Fade the tails cleanly. If you want that classic chop jungle energy, slice a new MIDI track and create stutters or little call and response fills. Now let's talk arrangement, because this is where it becomes music instead of a loop. For an intro, use pad top only. High pass it higher, like 150 Hz, and let it be wetter and wider. Give the drums space to arrive. On the drop, bring in the sub layer, but consider making it a support move, maybe only for the first 8 bars, then automate it down slightly so your main bass line takes over. That way the drop hits with weight, but the mix doesn't become a low-end argument. For breaks, try reversing a chunk of the resampled pad and filtering it. That's instant old-school tension. Then in the second drop, open the pad filter slightly more than the first drop. Tiny energy lift, big perceived impact. A workflow tip that saves time. Print 3 intensity versions. One for intro, high passed and wetter. One for drop, tighter, drier, stronger side chain. One for breakdown, longer tails, filtered, maybe reversed swells. Then you arrange by swapping clips, not automating 12 lanes. Common mistakes to avoid as you do this. Don't let the pad keep its original low end. That's how you get facey, undefined subs. Don't make the sub stereo. It'll sound huge on headphones and collapse in a club. Don't drown the drop in reverb. Automate reverb down when drums hit. Don't oversaturate the sub. You want weight, not fuzz. And again, no sidechain usually equals congestion in DNB. If you want a darker, heavier variation, do parallel distortion on the pad top only. Duplicate the resampled pad. Distort the copy with roar or saturator plus overdrive, then high pass the distorted copy at around 200 Hz and blend it quietly. All grit, no low-end chaos. You can also add slow auto-filter LFO movement on the pad top for Reese-like motion, without actually turning it into a Reese. And one last translation check. Drop a utility on the master temporarily and hit mono. If your low-end collapses, fix width and phase before you go further. This is how you keep massive from becoming mushy.